Hello and welcome to the Biz News Briefing. Well, on a day when Celsea gave a range of what its share price is going to be, the big news from the corporate sector is that the worst appears to be over at last for tourism in South Africa. We had interim results, in other words, 6 monthly results released today from Southern Sun. They show that income was only up by 5%, but that's not actually the story. The real story is in the trading update, where the group revealed that occupancy in October hit 73.3%. That is a level that they haven't seen since the FIFA World Cup back in 2010. It's a pivotal moment for the sector. While the first half of the year for Southern Sun, that was the end of September, was dampened by delayed government spending and high costs, this surge in October suggests the market has finally turned a corner. And Southern Sun confirmed that by signing a bold 50-year lease for the iconic Elangeni and Maharani hotels in Durban. Up until now, Durban appeared to have been uninvestable, but Southern Sun is effectively betting half a billion rand, saying the bad days there are over. Pick n Pay's share price recovered a little today, this after taking something of a knock on the news that the family of Raymond Ackerman, the late founder, had sold shares worth 1.6 billion rand, shares that it had acquired 18 months ago for 1.1 billion rand. It's not really that big a profit, though, because they borrowed the money to buy the shares in the first place, and there were quite a lot of fees that had to go to the advisors, the professionals. However, it does tell you that things are now on the up and up. The family put the money in to support the vision of the new CEO, Sean Summers, who returned to the group 2 years ago. And a major blow to South Africa's industrial capacity leads our mining news today. Shareholders in Merafe Resources received an update this morning that they've been dreading regarding the Glencore-Merafe joint venture. Back in September, the company issued Section 189 retrenchment consultations, hoping to negotiate a survival plan. However, after 3 months of intensive talks with government and unions, Merafe confirmed today that no viable solutions materialized. The deal breaker is the urgent need for a competitive energy tariff. In other words, Eskom charges just too much to have ferrochrome operating in South Africa. The state has been unable to provide that guarantee, and the consequences are immediate. Retrenchments begin in the upcoming weeks. Well, 4 years ago, a BizNews community member, tired of the local versus offshore investment debate, gave us R1 million and said, please give 500,000 of it to the person who's been banging the offshore drum the hardest, Magnus Haystack of Brenthurst Health, and the other 500,000 rand to Piet Viljoen, who's a very much local as lacquer value investor. Well, we're 4 years into that race, and Viljoen has a clear lead. His investments into South Africa have taken that 500,000 rand to 681,000 rand. Magnus's pile is still profitable, but it's a way behind at 616,000 rand. I asked Viljoen what good bets he'd made to give him this lead.
There have been a number of good bets, but I think it's generally been good South African businesses that were massively undervalued 4 years ago and remain undervalued to this day. So it's a mix of them. You know, it's hard to single out, but I think the banks have done fine given the muted backdrop in credit growth. Despite that, they've done fine. Local industrial companies like CMH have done fantastically. There are a number of businesses like that. So it's hard to pinpoint one thing. As a general trend, businesses that have survived the past 10 or 15 years in South Africa are strong businesses with good management on average. And these companies are grinding away, generating returns for shareholders, and those returns are not recognized by the market yet. They're starting to get recognized, but they are not recognized by the market yet. The generalization is good South African businesses with good management have grinded away and generated good returns for shareholders over the past 4 years.
So the message there is local is lekker, and it's even more lekker now than it was 4 years ago when Viljoen made that bet and gave him an extended lead over the offshore side. Hastick, for his part, was humble, and although there's a year to go and he thinks anything could happen in this challenge, he says he made some mistakes.
Maybe I'm a better advisor than a fund manager. I'm maybe leave the money to the fund managers. They do it for a living. I'm a better advisor. I can. But there's this emotional component of managing money that I perhaps failed. I panicked when the market went down, and I thought I'll go into cash. And then while I was having a cup of tea, the market went up 10%, and then you're 10% behind the market, and that's just what happened. So I settled down, I chose my stocks, and they're running very, very nicely now.
Well, there was a whole lot more discussed in that conversation. The full interview is on biznews.com/briefing. But for the purposes of tonight's big story, let's have a look at some insights that the two gurus gave us that can help our wealth building activities. And the first of these is that South African shares are still cheap.
So 4 years ago, the fundamentals were bad, but the market was pricing them even worse. So you were getting paid to take the risk in South Africa at that time. Today, the fundamentals are improving and the assets are still cheap. So now there's even extra sauce or extra gravy on the pie here because the fundamentals are getting better, but the pricing has not improved dramatically. It's gone up a bit, but not in line with fundamentals. So It's even better as an investment prospect now than it was 4 years ago. So that's one thing I'd like to say. And the second thing is when people call something uninvestable on the one hand or euphoric on the other hand, you either get attracted to it or run away from it. So when people like Rob Herschel say something is uninvestable, that pricks up my ears and I start looking at it possibly for investment opportunities because, you know, he is expressing the consensus view.
From his perspective, although he's been called Dr. Doom by certain media people, Magnus Hastick actually changed his mind on South Africa and its investability about 18 months ago.
You may recall at the business conference beginning of last year, I had a photograph of Peter Lynch where I said, are things getting better or getting worse for South Africa? And I think there are tentative signs. Things are getting better. But I am very surprised, pleasantly surprised, how well the economic cards are falling at the moment with the grey listing, with the upgrades, with the gold boom, which has been incredible. If the facts change, you change your mind. You cannot have a rigid investment approach in the face of glaring facts that have changed everything. And things have changed in South Africa. And I know Cyril Ramaphosa is taking credit and saying it's the ANC. But first of all, I think one must commend the South African private sector for how they've managed to survive and prosper in the face of absolute draconian policy decisions from government, a very hostile political environment. Our guys have just knuckled down and they've just got on with their business, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, isn't that good news? And the value investor's value investor, that is Viljoen, gave us a little tip about something that should be his antithesis, but something that he's a big fan of.
Unfortunately, the regulatory environment does not allow local unit trusts or CISs, whatever you want to call them, collective investment schemes, to buy or invest in Bitcoin. If the regulator had allowed that, the fund would have bought into Bitcoin because personally, I have been buying Bitcoin for the last 9 years. But the regulator doesn't allow us to invest it in collective investment schemes. So that wasn't by choice. But I have no regrets.
So if you could invest in Bitcoin now at $90,000, given that it's come below $100,000 for the first time in a few months anyway, would you be?
I'm buying every month. For the price of a good meal, I'm buying Bitcoin. I've been doing so for almost 10 years.
Now, when we look ahead, what exactly are you going to do that's going to win you this competition? The one thing, if you could do anything, is there anything? Or if not, why do you think you're going to win it?
I'm staying the course. I'm keeping the investment in the value fund. The value fund is predominantly exposed to South African businesses, and they're doing fine. So I'm staying the course. And I think that's the key to any successful investment, is to stay the course and not chop and change. Importantly, anything can happen over the next year. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to try and forecast what's going to happen, because I think that's a mud's game. I'm staying the course with fundamentally undervalued, good quality businesses with a win that's changed from a headwind to somewhat of a tailwind. So I think my sales are set fair.
So your portfolio as it now sits is a better proposition than it was 4 years ago?
Yes.
You can't believe it. And here's something else in our tailpiece tonight, something that many people thought they'd never see happen. Warren Buffett buying into a tech stock, and he's done it in a big way. Warren Buffett is 95 years old. He's been talking about Google and, well, its holding company Alphabet being a fantastic investment opportunity for years now. I've been at the Berkshire Hathaway AGM in Omaha listening to him saying what a great company it is, but he never bought into it because he said he could not understand what they would make next year. Well, that's changed. He has bought 17.9 million Alphabet shares. That's worth $5 billion in South African terms. Think of this, 86 billion rand. Billion rand. And there's more to come. Here's how our partners at Bloomberg reported the news.
We still have Berkshire Hathaway, though.
We do.
That tends to be the one that moves markets. It's that Alphabet holding that seems to really have captured the market's attention this morning.
100%. He bought a sizable stake in Alphabet. Now, this is a position that could be worth more than $5 billion. It's still his 10th biggest holding, even for such a large purchase. It shows you just how much money he's putting to work these days. And it's a brand new stake for him. And if we look at something that he decreased, he cut his Apple exposure by about 15%. Now, the stock is still its biggest holding. It still accounts for about a quarter of his total portfolio. So it may have been more of a rotation to protect the portfolio construction than necessarily a directional bet. But Alphabet, clearly directional bet.
So what's the world coming to? Pete Fulion investing in Bitcoin, Warren Buffett buying Alphabet. It's all changed, isn't it? We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.